Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for that precious Holy Spirit that resides in each and every one of my brothers and sisters here tonight. That teacher within, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the preparation of my heart. Lord, I ask that I speak only that which you want spoken, and it lands on the fertile soil of each and every one's heart and produces a change according to your plans and your purposes and your will in each and every one's life. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the power of your word to change us. We thank you for knowing that we're living in days that we need to know what you want us to do, when you want us to do it, and how you want us to do it, Father. So, Father, we commit this night to you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. How many times have you looked at scriptures, you've read them, you've looked at them, you've read them, but all of a sudden the Lord takes you back to them and he shows you something completely different, something new. Because see, his word is life. And every time we open up this book and we can look at a scripture, you know, John 3:16. I mean, every time I look at that passage of Scripture, I see something different. But I can never read John 3:16 without reading John 3:17. And a lot of times that gets left out. But I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to go on a little journey here. We're going to start in verse 3. It says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We're going to come back and look at each one, look at those scriptures a little bit more closely. But as I was preparing, you know, there's a lot going on in the world today. In the United States, controversy with the president, all kinds of stuff are going on. And I wrote this down. It says, "In the world we live, everyone and everywhere we turn, there is a certain way people are saying things need to be done." We see it all the time in politics. One party says we need to do it this way. The other party says, no, that's not the right way to do it. That's the wrong way. If we do it that way, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. And all this was going on. And the Lord took me to this passage of Scripture. Because it says, "For our thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." See how the Lord thinks on things and how the Lord looks at things is totally contrary to the world. And praise God it is. And my wife always tells me that if what someone's doing is aggravating or irritating the majority of the people in the world, God's probably behind it. because it goes against what they think needs to be done or what should be done. And I want to go back to verse 3. Because we're in a time right now that this is going to be very important for us as believers. In verse 3 it says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Incline your ear. You know, we can all sit here on a Sunday morning and listen to that which we're being fed by Pastor Mark or the late Pastor Bill. But the question I ask, are we inclining our ear? Are we really listening to what's being said? Because you know what? If I were to stand outside the door after church and ask 10 different people, "So, what did you hear?" Some would say, "I don't remember." Some would say, "Well, that was a good word." "Well, what was it?" "Well, I don't really know." So, my question is, and basically, when it says incline your ear, what he's saying, it explains why two people can listen to the same message and one will benefit and grow from it and another doesn't get anything out of it. And see, that's hard to imagine that we can sit underneath the Word. And some of us have sat underneath the Word here for a long time. Some are growing in leaps and bounds. Some are a little growth. But we have to ask the question, are we inclining our ear? Because he says, "Incline your ear and come unto me." Not only when we're in here, but when we're at home 24/7. Do we have an ear tuned in to the voice of Jesus? Because he's wanting to speak to us, and he's wanting to speak to us in that still small voice and say, "Come over here. Come aside. I got some sweet things I want to whisper in your spirit." Are we inclined to hear that still small voice? Or are we too busy? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. It says, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." He's given us Pastor Mark. He's a leader and commander of this local church. And he's got a heart after God. And he's going to lead, he's going to command, he's going to direct. But are we inclining our ear to listen to the commander? You know, when you're in the military, Frank has said it numerous times. You know, when your commander says, "Jump," you jump. When he says, "Be quiet," you be quiet. We learn to obey the commander-in-chief. Then it says, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God." You know, we're living in those times. We're living in those times. The Lord is going to have one more, probably, I'd be wrong for saying it. But the Lord is preparing a people for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit for a lost and dying world. And it's for this purpose right here. "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest thou not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel.
Because of what you and I have on the inside of us. They're going to be looking. You know, I just saw a blurb the other day that, what was Billy Graham's son's name? Franklin. He was supposed to be having a conference or something in one of the other countries, and they were forbidding him to advertise because he was going to be preaching and teaching on hope. I said, you can't do that. His response was, I can't advertise, but I can still preach on hope. Because you know what? There are people that are going to show up. Because you cannot tell me that people are without hope. There's a lot of people in this world who are without hope. And God told me I'm going to preach on hope. I'm preaching on hope. Whether I advertise or I don't advertise, I'm preaching on hope. But here's what the Lord really pricked my heart on. And it's something I had to examine my heart regarding. Because he said, and we know this passage of Scripture, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, Satan has perpetrated a lie in the world, even in Christianity, even in the religious circles, there's more than one way to know God. That's a lie. That's a lie. There's only one way. And that's Jesus. There's only one way. Flip back over to Isaiah 53. Because this is you and I. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, there's the problem. The problem is we have turned to our own way. And the title for my lesson tonight is Jesus is the only way. In every aspect of our life, Jesus is the only way. Pastor Bill used to say this all the time. Sin is a problem. Jesus is the answer. Well, that applies to every aspect of our life. And that's what the Lord was impressing upon me. We've got, you know, many times when there's divisions and splits in local churches, you know why? It's quiet. Let me tell you why. Because the sheep sitting in the seats have their way of how things need to be run, how things need to be done. And if their way doesn't line up with the commander-in-chief way, which is our pastor, they get all flustered and get their feathers ruffled. Guess what? Instead of getting your feathers ruffled, you need to get them brushed down and get in line. Because when you're the commander and you got subordinates underneath you in a military situation, see, somehow I think we forget that we're in a war. We're in a war together. Every one of us are in a war. But yet the enemy wants to get our focus off of the way Jesus has planned for us to focus on, well, I don't agree. I don't agree with you, Debbie. See, that's not God's way. And when we get focused on a way other than Jesus, we're going to have divisions. We're going to have strife. And things aren't going to go the way they need to go in our life. That word astray there means to err, to wander, to stagger. You know, when we get off course and we go our own way, we've all seen the movies where the guy comes staggering in, he's had way too many to drink, and he's unstable. Well, guess what? When we don't do it God's way, when we don't do it the way Jesus has outlined for us to do, guess what? We start to get off path, we start to stagger, we start to wander. And if we don't get back into this, we don't incline our ear to hear what God's saying, we get off and err, and we're like sheep, as it says here, that go astray. We start to go astray. And it's very subtle. I thank God for Pastor Mark. I thank God for Pastor Bill and Elnora and Christine. Because from the time I've known, from the time I knew Pastor Bill and Elnora, get in this book. You got to know God's way. And so many times, Pastor Mark referred to it on Sunday. I thank God for the man I met 2 weeks after I got saved that told me don't read any other book for the first 2 years of your walk other than this Bible. And I asked him. I said, why did you tell me that? What do you think he said? You have any idea why he told me that? First of all, he was feared in Riker Island prison. He was a bad guy. He was the commander of that prison as a prisoner. Everyone was scared of him. And he goes, let me tell you why I'm telling you, don't read any other book than this book for the first 2 years. He says, this book has God's plan and God's way for your life. He goes, that's one of the reasons you need to read it. And you need to know what this book says. But the reason you need to know what this Bible says, he says, you'll never know the counterfeit unless you know the real. He goes, go to any bank in America and ask any teller who's been trained. They are trained with handling real money. And then they will slip in counterfeit bills. And someone who's been properly trained as a teller at a bank, that fake bill cannot get by them because they know what the real feels like. You see, the enemy is throwing us fake stuff all the time. Whether it's in the media, whatever it is. It's not true. It's not true at all. And in that verse where it says, incline thy ear, it says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. See, we have a covenant with God. That's one of my favorite books other than the Bible, is covenant relationships. Because when we truly understand covenant, how I look at you, how you look at me, totally changes. Because we have a covenant relationship with God. But when we understand covenant, we look at each other differently. Because we're in covenant together with God. And as I was looking at this, the word, one word kept popping into my spirit. The way. The way. Is God's way different than the world's way? Yes. It's totally contrary to the world's way. Now, when I say
the way what scripture comes to your mind?
John what, Debbie? John 14? 6. Thank you. Turn to John 14, 6, please.
We all know this scripture. In verse 5, Thomas said unto the Lord, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way?
How can we know the way? Have you ever been at a crossroad in your life and you're going, what way do I go? I don't know the way. Yogi Berra, baseball player, he had all these yogiisms. They asked him, Yogi, when you come to a fork in a road, what do? He goes, you take it. Well, normally people would say when you come to the fork of the road, you either go right or left. He said, take it. So that means you just go. Go whatever direction you're led to go. That was his answer. And they were like, but Yogi, we need to know which way, which fork you take. He didn't say that. He said, just take it. That was his answer. But in this passage of Scripture, in 6, Jesus said unto him, speaking to Thomas, I am the way. I am the way. Now, if we go and we really believe this, when Jesus says, I am the way, then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, he says three things here. I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Now, I taught on this, I think I taught on it, but I'm not sure. The Lord showed me something very interesting here in this passage of Scripture. Because I said we're in a war, right? There's three things that Jesus said. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Go back to John chapter 10. I want to show you something here. I want to show something that the Lord showed me. We know this Scripture. The thief cometh not. Who's the thief? Satan, the devil. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. What did he come to steal? He came to steal the way. He came to kill the truth. And he came to destroy. If he can steal the way you're supposed to go, get you off track, get you to err, he will then begin to kill the truth that is in you. And as a result, he's got one purpose and one purpose only, to destroy your life and my life. And it's all through deception. It all starts with getting us off the way, getting us off the path that God has for us. Because he's a liar. He's a liar. And Jesus didn't say, well, there's many ways. He said, I am the way. I am the way. When he says, I am, does that give us any other options for the way? None. He's the way. He's the way.
We're going to look at something here a little bit. And that way means a traveled road, a course of conduct, a manner of thinking, feeling, deciding, a journey. From the time we're born, we begin a journey. Most of the time, unless we get saved very young, we're on a different path and a different way. We're not on God's way. Once we become saved, once we become born again, God is wanting us to get us back on the right path and the right way that He has for your life and my life. And every one of our lives and paths are a little bit differently. But Jesus is still the way. He's still the truth. He's still the life. Without Him, we don't have any life. Without Him, there is no truth. Without Him, it's like the world we see now. It's confused. It's deception. No one has a problem standing before a microphone or a TV camera and lying. And yet, the news media gets bent out of shape. We as Christians get bent out of shape. Well, you know the guy's lying. Well, if you know the guy's lying, pray and intercede for him, because that's his nature. People who lie, their father is of the devil, because he was a liar from the beginning. That's their nature. People who lie, that's their nature. Guess what? Before you got saved, don't sit there and tell me you didn't lie sometimes. You didn't try to protect self. People lie all the time to protect self or to make themselves look better than the person that they're lying to. But it says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So, go to Hosea chapter 14. I want to read verse 1 because it kind of sets the tone for this particular chapter, chapter 14. It says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Kind of sounds like Isaiah 53:6, doesn't it? As sheep, we've gone astray. Israel went astray. Then we go down to verse 9. That's the beginning of that chapter. We go down to verse 9. It says, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. And the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. See, there is a way that we can walk in that is right. It is right before God. The ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. God has made a provision for you and I to walk in the way of truth and life in this world. And as a result of that, we will be given wisdom, we will be given discernment, we'll be given a word of knowledge. There's things that will begin to happen in our life when we know that we're walking in the way that God has for us. And we're inclining our ear to hear what that still small voice is wanting to speak to us 24/7. I want to see a show of hands. How many of you know that God does not speak to you just on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings? But yet, we sometimes act like it. We sometimes act like the only time He speaks to us is
Wednesday night or Sunday morning or when we get together for prayer or another time. But he doesn't. He's wanting to speak to us all the time. There's things he wants to show us. There's things he wants us to pray about. There's things he wants us to intercede about. There's things he wants to correct us. Because he has a way that is perfect for you and I. That word prudent, when it says, shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. That word prudent there means discern. We, brothers and sisters, are living in a time that we need to be more discerning as Christians in the world in which we're living. God never put anything in this Bible just to put it in. And when God's word says we are to test every spirit, we better be testing every spirit. Because not every spirit is of God. Not every spirit behind everything we listen to, we watch, or observe is of the Lord. So, if we're not testing it, we can be deceived. And this Bible also says, in the last days, even the elect will be deceived. How can that happen? How can the elect, how can people who are Christians, strong in the Lord, how can they be deceived? I think one of the reasons, and one of the ways they can be deceived, is they have stopped testing the Spirit somewhere along the line. And they're not as discerning as they were. And they go, oh, he says he's a Christian. I don't care whether they say they're a Christian or not. If they're a Christian, they're going to show fruit of a Christian. And if I test their spirit and observe them, because what did Jesus say? If Jesus says, I am the way, Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruit. That's why I loved when we had a school here. There was a 6-month probation for you to allow your child to go to school here. And guess what was happening during that 6-month period of time? Your fruit was being checked as a parent. Were you tithing? Were you fellowshipping? What was the third one, Pastor Mark? Fellowship, involvement, and tithing. Your fruit was being tested. And if your fruit produced nice Jesus blossoms at the end of 6 months, your child could go to church or go to school. But see, we can't be naive, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of good people in the world. But good people are not going to make it. We've got to see beyond the goodness of their heart to see that they really have a relationship with Jesus Christ himself, because he is the way. He's the only way. There's no other mediator between us and God other than Jesus Christ. And if they don't know him and he's not their Lord, it's going to be an interesting awakening. Now, go to Proverbs. Let's see here. Go to Proverbs 3:6. We know this scripture very well.
Let's start in verse 5. We know 5 and 6 very well. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, there's stipulations here. He wants us to acknowledge him in all our ways. Well, if Jesus is the way that we're following, are we acknowledging him in all our ways? We're putting Jesus first. Jesus is the way. He's going to lead us into truth. He's going to give us life. But it says, in order for us to acknowledge him, we have to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So if we trust the Lord with all thine heart, then we will acknowledge him in all our ways. See, there's two alls there. All our heart, then we acknowledge him in all our ways. See, our heart is what God looks at. You know, we can look very good on the outside to one another. When God was looking for David, and all his brothers were brought before him, they were wanting to choose a replacement, for the most part, based upon what? Outward appearance. But God wasn't looking on the outward appearance. Because when David came in from taking care of the sheep, was he the best looking, the nicest smelling person that came before? No, he wasn't. You know, it's like if Paul had to write a resume or a curriculum vitae to apply to teach at a church in the times in which we're living, he wouldn't get a second interview. But see, he wouldn't get a second interview because of what, Pastor Mark? His record, but he wouldn't be in line with the way they think you need to be to have authority to minister the gospel. But that's not what God said. I mean, even when he sends his servant, he goes, Lord, you know this, what this guy's done. I mean, this is not a nice guy. You know, he's killed Christians. And I'll go if you tell me to go, but I just want to make sure that you got the right guy here. Like God makes a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. So it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Do we ever lean upon our own understanding? Do we sometimes forget to acknowledge him in all our ways? Yeah, we do. And when we do we usually get in trouble? And we usually get in trouble because we've done it our way and not God's way. God has a way to keep us on the straight and narrow, in the path and the direction that he wants to take your life and my life. And only God can do it. Now then, go over to Proverbs, stay in Proverbs. Let's go over to 16, chapter 16. Because, see, here's the problem. 16:2. It says, all of the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. That word clean, one of the translations was clear. So, oh yeah, this is clear. I know exactly where I'm supposed to go. We're so foggy. Our eyesight's so foggy sometimes. We don't know the right way to go. It says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Then what does he say in verse 3? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I've shared this many times, and my wife will testify, she won't allow me to do anything around the house unless I commit it to the Lord. Because when I don't commit it to the Lord, my thoughts, my actions, and the steps I need to take end up, well, they get messed up. It takes much longer. What should be a 10-minute job is an hour and a half. And she will come out very lovingly and go, it's taking you so long. And after she says, what's taking you so long? She goes, you didn't commit this to the Lord or pray, did you? No. And as soon as you pray, boom, you're done. So what did I do? I wasted time that I shouldn't have wasted time with. Now, in Proverbs 10:29, go back to chapter 10. It says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Strength to the upright. Doing it God's way makes us strong. Not in our own wisdom, not in our own knowledge, not in our own understanding, but it makes us strong in the Lord because He's the only one that can allow us to walk upright. Once again, it all goes back to Jesus. Jesus is the only way, He's the only truth and the only life, and when we follow His way, it causes us to walk upright in strength. Now, go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Because see, I believe if we take this passage of Scripture to heart and apply it to every aspect of our life, we're going to see changes in what God begins to show and do with your life and my life. Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, this is what's interesting. Bear with me one second. I've got to go back and look at something here. Because it's important. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. In John 14:6, when Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the word way is singular. It's not plural. Jesus didn't say, I am the ways. There wasn't more than one way. There was only one way. And this passage of Scripture here says, commit thy way. One way again, singular, it's not plural, didn't say commit thy ways unto the Lord, it says commit thy way. Whatever path you're on at that particular moment, you need to commit to the Lord, because if you commit thy way unto the Lord,
and trust also in him, he might bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. That's a pretty good promise. So why would we not want to commit the direction or the path or the way we're going? Why would we not want to commit it unto the Lord? Because ask yourself this question. How many times have you not committed the way, the path, or the direction you're going? And how many times with what you had planned didn't come to pass? A lot. A lot. So it said, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The word commit there means roll away, trust, wallow. I like that word, wallow. You ever wallowed? You know what wallow is? Yeah, you get all wrapped up in it. Yeah, you wallow, you get all wrapped up in it. Well, just get all wrapped up in the Lord. You're so wrapped up in him, you've got that way in his hands. That's what I taught on last time. When we're in God's hands, we're in a lot better place. Well, when we commit the way, that direction or that path we need at that particular moment, God will bring it to pass. Tiffany, remember you were talking earlier before the service, talking about direction and path? You know, you're committing that unto the Lord. And as a result of committing it unto the Lord, he's going to bring to pass exactly what he has planned and purposed for your life regarding those two areas that you were talking about. Because he already knows where he wants to take her. And as she commits it unto him, he's leading, guiding, and directing. Because she's wanting to do it Jesus' way, not her way. That's the key. Jesus' way and not her way. Stay in the book of Psalms and let's go over to chapter 143. Now remember what we read in Isaiah 55 about inclining the ear. Because in Psalm 143 in verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. So, the psalmist is starting his day off inclining his ear to the voice of God. And as a result, he's putting his trust, he's putting his whole day, all his plans, all the directions, every way he needs to go, he's committing it unto the Lord. And he says, in thee do I trust, cause me to know the way. So when we do that, when we commit it unto him, he's going to cause us to know the way that we need to go. And he's going to cause us and show us how to walk in that path, that way, that direction that he has for us. What a great God. What a great Father. That's how much he cares for you. You ever been grocery shopping when you're walking down the aisle and all of a sudden he tells you, no, don't go down this aisle, go down another aisle? And they got these BOGO sales. Or you go down another aisle, there's no sales, but there's a smaller person that's trying to get something off the top shelf and they can't quite reach it. And the Lord goes, ask them if they need help. Are you trying to reach that product on the top shelf? Yeah, that's exactly what I want. What are we going to do? Walk by and say, that's tough. Get someone else to help you. No. He calls us to go down that aisle to allow us to see that person because that's the way and the path he wanted us to take because he wanted us to be that extended hand to reach that product to put in that person's cart. That's the way that God leads us. He directs us. But he says, there's three things in this verse. One, to hear. Two, to trust. And as a result of hearing and trusting, then we'll know. We'll know the way that we're to walk in. So we hear, we trust, and then we know. It's pretty simple. But we get so bombarded with everything that's contrary to the way Jesus has, the truth that Jesus has regarding that particular day or subject or whatever we're dealing with, because if we do His way, and we do it truthfully according to God's word, it's going to produce life. So that's our choice. Now go back to Psalm 25, please. How am I on time? Okay, I'm good. Psalm 25. Verse 4. See, David understood this. Because David, what he's saying here is he's saying in verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Not my goals, not my aspirations. We all have goals and aspirations. There's nothing wrong with having goals and aspirations. But at some point, those goals and aspirations are going to line up with God's goals and aspirations. Because we want Him to show us His way and to teach us the path that He has for us. Now, if we go down to, where's my notes here? Go down to verse 12. It says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. See, there's a fear of God that comes, that we all have. And it's a reverence. It's not like, oh, he's going to put me underneath his thumb and it's done. I make a mistake, boom, he's going to stomp on me. No, that's not it. There's a reverential fear of wanting to do it God's way. And when we have that fear, the fear of the Lord, it puts us in a position that He shall teach us in the way, but He still gives us a choice. Because He says, in the way that He shall choose. So He doesn't take away our free will. He doesn't take our choice. But we get to the place where we know what the Bible says. We know what this book says about God's way, what the way that Jesus has planned for us, that we automatically choose. Because it pleases the Father. Sue was sharing something with me last week. And, you know, with young children, as parents, we all had different ways that we thought to raise our children, how we should teach our children. But she was sharing something the Lord had kind of shared with her that was really inspirational is If you have a young child, teach them to always feel free to come to you and tell you what they did wrong, knowing that there are consequences, but as a result of that consequence, there comes correction and they receive love. Because guess what you're doing? You're teaching them to do the same thing with Father God. We should run freely to Father God when we've done something wrong, knowing that He will take us in His everlasting arms and say, I understand. And you repent and receive His forgiveness, and He wraps His loving arms around you and says, okay, let's get back on the path. Let's get back on the way. But see, the enemy has deceived parents and people that deal with young people. Why do they lie? Did you do that? No, I didn't do that. Why do they lie? Because they're afraid of the consequences and they're trying to protect themselves rather than understanding that everything we do in life, you have two choices. But guess what? Whatever you choose to do, there are consequences. There are consequences that are pleasing to the Lord, and there's consequences that are not pleasing to the Lord. The earlier we learn that in our life and walk upon this earth, the more we're going to be apt to run to Father God and say, I messed up. I know. I still love you. This is what you should have done. Yeah, you made a choice. Wasn't the right choice, but I want to show you what you would have done if you'd done it this way. That's how we learn. We learn from mistakes. We should learn from mistakes. But to lie, to cover and protect ourselves is not God's way. Never has been, never will be. And this is really interesting. Because I said in the beginning that when we do it God's way, it is always contrary and usually opposite to the world's way. Most of the stuff that we do as Christians does not line up with the world's way. And I happened to turn on the news last night briefly, and there was an older gentleman, I don't remember his name, he was probably about 75 years of age, but they were talking about what was going on with Trump and the Russia deal and a whole bit. Well, this guy had spent his whole life studying Russia, the history, and how presidents of the United States had interacted with Russia. He made a very interesting statement, and it jumped at me, because I've not heard this word being used in a long time. He said, the problem that's going on right now in the world is everyone, and this is the words that he used. He goes, everyone has what they think Trump as the commander-in-chief should be doing, and he should be doing it this way, and this way. And he goes, because he's not doing that, he is considered a heretic. I have not heard that word in I don't know how long. And it jumped at me because the definition of a heretic is a person holding an opinion at odds with what is generally accepted. See, that's what we are as Christians. As Christians, we should be looked upon as heretics. We don't do it the world's way. We don't act the world's way. We don't speak the world's way. And when he finished using that word heretic, the person that was interviewing him said, what do you mean? He goes, he's not a politician. He doesn't think like a politician. He doesn't act like a politician. He doesn't speak like a politician. And they do not know how to handle what he says and does because it's totally contrary and opposite to the way in that they're used to. And you know, I'm sitting there going, wow, this guy's speaking a lot of wisdom. Because that's what the world should be saying about you and I. They don't do it this way. They don't act this way. They don't. So we're really people holding an opinion, and our opinion is Jesus is the only way. And it puts us at odds with what is generally accepted. What's generally accepted is there's many ways. You can believe this, you can believe that. I forget who it was. All those people who said that, they better hope when they take their last breath they're right. Because there is only one way. I used to be one of those people that thought that. Not anymore. See, when we decide to do things Jesus' way, it will be contrary and opposite to the world's way. Now, I wrote down a few things the Lord had me write down. And before I read them, there's really only three ways. There's the world's way, there's your way, and there's God's way. You can be right one-third of the time, two-thirds of the time, or all the time. If you choose the world's way and your way, you're going to be wrong two-thirds of the time. But when you choose to do it God's way, He will lead you in the way and the path He wants you to go. But I wrote down some things here. Okay. World's way. Look out for yourself. What did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, lay down your life. World's way, along those same lines about, you know, look out for number one. What did Jesus do? He washed his disciples' feet. He came as a servant. Totally opposite. The world lies. This is a book of truth. God's word is true. Totally opposites. The world says, hate your neighbor, hate your enemy. What's God say? Love your neighbor, love your enemy. Two different ways. The world says, well, you gotta be prejudiced. You gotta have feelings toward this group or that group. What did Jesus say? He was no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. The world says, it's okay to steal. Jesus' way is return it back to the original owner. It's not yours, it belongs to them. They need it. Totally different attitudes. See, there is only one way in every aspect of our life. And when Jesus was speaking to Thomas, those words are very profound. Jesus was saying, I am the only way. I am the only truth that you're going to need. And I am the only way that you're going to have true life on this earth. There is no other way. There's no other way. And the enemy has wanted to steal kill, and destroy that truth. And it happens because we get off track, we get in a rut, and we stop inclining our ear, we stop listening, we stop trusting in the one. See, here, I'm gonna leave you with this. I'm gonna ask you a question. Why would we not fully trust God? And then I'm gonna ask, and then I'm gonna make a statement. If He's the only one, because this is what the Bible says, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and He's the end. And He knows everything in between the beginning and the end. So if He knows everything from the beginning to the end, why would we not trust Him in every way that we choose to go? I had to answer that question. I said, I'd be an idiot not to. He goes, you have been that sometimes. You've been an idiot because you didn't trust me. You didn't want to follow my way. You wanted to do it your way. There's only one way. That's God's way. And God's got a people that He's trying to get prepared for what's coming down the road. We don't know. God does. God knows what's ahead in the path of life that you have before you. Pastor Mark has been preaching on it. The messages I've been hearing from Times Square Church. Some Sundays I'm like, wait a second. Did Pastor Mark fly up to New York and come back? Because it's the same spirit. See, God's spirit is the same. The messenger might be different, but God is in the process of getting us prepared as a body. And He knows the way we need to go, and He knows that we need to begin to incline our ear, and we need to seek Him. Because when we incline our ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and that's what Frank talked about last Wednesday when he was getting into Revelation, the book of Revelation. He who hath an ear, let him hear. God's Spirit is speaking to us, not only here, throughout the world. Get your ears in tune. You know, it's amazing. You walk around anywhere in Pinellas County, anywhere in the United States. Everyone has earbuds. Is it earbuds? Not earbuds, earbuds. Earbuds. That wouldn't be good if everyone had earbuds. But they got these earbuds in their ears. Everyone is listening, but what are they listening to? Are they training themselves to listen to that still small voice? Or are they listening to something music-wise, podcast-wise, whatever it may be, that has the wrong spirit behind it? I would venture to say that a lot of those earbuds are not tuned into God. They're not tuned into His channel. They're not tuned into His network. And God's saying, brothers and sisters, it's time to tune in. It's time to tune in. It's time to listen. Find out my way, which is only one way. That's the Jesus way. Heavenly Father, as Your Word says in Isaiah 53, we have sheep have all strayed and gone our own way. We've erred, Father. We've made mistakes. Every one of us have made mistakes.
We've missed it. We've messed up. We've blown it. But Lord, you're wanting to take and show us by your Spirit. You're wanting our spiritual ears to be more sensitive to hear what the Spirit of the living God is wanting to show us so we can walk in the path and the way that you have for each and every one of our lives. Help us to trust you with all our heart. Help us to not lean upon our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all our ways. And Lord, we thank you for knowing that when we commit the way unto you, Father, you shall direct our path and you shall bring to pass that which you've shown us to walk in. And Father, we thank you because you are the only way. You are the only truth. And you're the only one that gives life. Because we were spiritually dead, and now we're spiritually alive unto you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.